Lucifer is a shadowy figure, and he's only actually named once in the Bible. Who is this mysterious figure, and why do we think that he is the devil? Do you want to understand the Bible, but you're confused? You've come to the right place. This is Tough Bible Questions on Timothy Talks, where I'm going to work through answers to your questions about the tough, challenging, and sometimes flat-out weird sections of the Bible. I'm so glad that you're joining me today on Timothy Talks. My name is Daniel Pentamone, and today I'm going to try to answer the question for you, who is Lucifer? Now, you may think that this is a pretty simple question to answer. He's the devil, isn't he? Actually, this is a lot more challenging than that, because Lucifer only shows up one time in the Bible, and he doesn't seem to be who you would expect. So who is he? Where does he come from? And what do we know about him? Well, let's start with the name itself. Lucifer. The name Lucifer comes from a Latin word. It actually comes from two Latin words. The first Latin word is the word lux. Lux refers to light in Latin. The second word is ferro, which is a Latin verb meaning to bring. So Lucifer is the lux ferro, the light bringer. And this is a translation. It is a word that's being used in place of the Hebrew word, which is halel. The Hebrew word halel refers to a bright or a shining star. And this word halel, which is translated Lucifer, is found in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Now, I say that it's found there, but let me explain that the name Lucifer is not even found in every Bible translation. So, for example, in the Old King James Version, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" But many modern translations don't even use this word Lucifer anymore. So in the ESV it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low?" But this passage, though, is really the focus of what we're going to have to talk about today. Isaiah chapter 14. And really, the section that this is in, that verse 12 is in, starts around verse 3 and goes all the way to about verse 23. The surprising thing about this passage is that when we find it, it's right in the middle of a prophecy about the king of Babylon. In fact, verse 12 is not just a prophecy, but it's actually part of a holy taunt that God gives to his people. So the people of God have been oppressed, they've been persecuted by the king of Babylon. If you've been listening to some of the previous episodes I've done, you've heard a little bit about this, about how Babylon has been oppressing God's people. And God gives this holy taunt to his people to use to mock Babylon when the time comes that Babylon is going to fall. So part of this taunt says in verse 12, "How are you fallen from heaven, O day star," that is Lucifer, son of dawn, "how are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low?" And in particular, this taunt seems to be directed against the king of Babylon as the personification of the kingdom of Babylon. So because of this, some people have actually said that this passage doesn't talk about the devil at all. And I'm going to quote two people from the past, from several hundred years ago. Adam Clark, a commentator on the Bible, on this passage said, "The truth is, the text speaks nothing at all concerning Satan nor his fall, nor the occasions of that fall." And then another older commentator, John Gill, from the 1700s, was even more clear in his opinion. He said, "This is not to be understood of the fall of Satan and the apostate angels from their first estate when they were cast down from heaven to hell, though there may be an allusion to it." So let's look more closely, though, at this prophecy about the king of Babylon. What we learn from the prophecy is that even though he is an oppressor, he is also destroyed by God. He is pompous, he's very glorious, but that pomp is brought down to the grave. And then he is called the day star, the son of dawn, who laid nations low, but now he has fallen from heaven. Now in this passage, the king of Babylon says, and these are the words that are put into the mouth of the king of Babylon, to sort of describe his mindset and his approach, he says, "I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is found in verses 13 and 14. But even more astonishing, we read in verses 16 and 17, it's said that those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? So in other words, this passage in Isaiah, it's sort of presented as, you might call it, a spectacle of destruction. A spectacle of destruction. In other words, you have a specific nation, Babylon, that ruined other nations, and it gained great power and glory and pomp. But they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be cast down, and they will become a spectacle for the world. So this is a spectacle of destruction, to see how God triumphs over those kingdoms and nations and groups and entities that fight against him. Now, something else that's useful about this passage as we seek to understand it is we now know that two terms that are used in the Hebrew text of Isaiah, and the two terms specifically, Hallel, which is that word that I've actually been referring to, that's translated as Lucifer, but Hallel, morning star, and then another word, Shahar, which means the dawn. These were actually Babylonian astral deities, and like many ancient peoples, the Babylonians combined astronomy and astrology in their worship. So they're looking at these astronomical bodies in the heavens, and they're worshiping them. And so Hallel, the morning star, the Lucifer star, and the Shahar, or the dawn, these are Babylonian astral deities. And this is really interesting to read Isaiah from this perspective, that it's not simply using astronomical language just because it's a good picture, but it's actually using the language that Babylon itself uses in worship. So it gives another perspective when we read passages like Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. This is an oracle concerning Babylon. And I want you to notice as I read these two verses, I want you to notice the astronomical language. And think about this astronomical language as in, if the Babylonians are worshiping these heavenly bodies, notice how this prophecy really comes to light in that sense. But they say, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. Here you almost have this picture of the heavenly bodies engaged in the fight against Babylon. And this would be really remarkable language to use if Babylon sees those planets and those stars and constellations as what they worship. And then to learn that what they worship is actually going to be fighting against them and involved, as it were, in the destruction that God is going to send, and sort of endorsing the destruction that God sends on the very nation that is worshiping them. So that's a little bit of a background to what's going on here in this chapter in Isaiah. One question, though, that we want to think through is, what do we know about the devil from other parts of the Bible? Now, we could go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 actually sort of falls into the same problem. Ezekiel 28 is a prophecy about the king of Tyre, but it's sometimes used, people sometimes think that it may have implications about the devil. So let me just read verses 14 through 16. There we are told about the king of Tyre and maybe the devil. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You can obviously see some connections here, because in this Isaiah passage, you have a king who exalts himself and is destroyed. Here in Ezekiel, you have another king who exalts himself and is also destroyed. And again, potentially some implications about the devil, about Lucifer as we often think of him. In the New Testament, we have Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus says to his disciples, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Very interesting picture there. Again, you have Satan sort of being in heaven, sort of in that exalted state, and then falling from heaven like lightning. Then Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, as well as verse 11, we have this description. It says, "And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft." And then verse 11, after describing these horrific creatures that come up out of this pit, this bottomless pit in the shaft, we're told, "They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon." So these seem to give us some picture, some idea, a little bit more about what exactly is going on with this being that we call the devil. But how exactly then does that fit in with this idea of Lucifer, and potentially Lucifer simply being the king of Babylon? Well, let me point out that the word Lucifer, in the Latin translation of the Bible, which is known as the Vulgate, the word Lucifer is actually used four other times. Well, a total of four times, let me say it that way. A total of four times in the Vulgate, Lucifer is mentioned. It's mentioned in the passage that we've been talking about, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. But it's also mentioned in Job 11, verse 17, Job 38, verse 32, and 2 Peter 1, 19. Also, there's a reference in Job 38, verse 7, to the morning star, and this appears to potentially be referring to good angels. Now, there's a little difference here. That is not the same Hebrew word, so we're not talking about that Hallel word. So potentially that's not one that we need to think a lot about. But in Job 38, verse 32, the Latin translation of the Bible refers to the Lucifers. And it seems to be referring to some sort of astral body, some sort of astronomical phenomenon out there. Then in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, you have a prophecy. Here is Balaam. He's a false prophet, but he's giving a prophecy that does indeed come from the true God. And the word that he's going to use is not the word Lucifer. It's not translated that way, even in the Latin, but it is a very interesting word. And it has some implications for later on. So in the book of Numbers, very early in the Bible, near the beginning of the Bible, Balaam gives a prophecy and he says, "A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And from here, this prophecy goes on to describe how this star will destroy the enemies of God. Then near the very end of the Bible, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." So 2 Peter seems to be referring back to this. Okay, so trace this with me. I know this may seem a little theoretical, but try to follow this with me. In the beginning of the Bible, you have a prophecy of a star coming out of Jacob and a scepter rising from Israel. Okay, that seems like a good thing. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, you have a reference again to a morning star that rises in your hearts. And this morning star seems to be presented in a good way, not in a bad way. It's really interesting. Then you have some interesting references to the morning star in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 28, and chapter 22, verse 16. And here we learn especially who this morning star is. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." So Jesus is the real morning star. Now, I have more to say about this, but take a quick listen, and I'll be right back. Now it's your turn. This season at Timothy Talks, the goal is to answer your tough Bible questions. So, do you have a tough Bible question? If so, email it to timothytalkspodcast@gmail.com. That's timothytalkspodcast@gmail.com. Plus, every time you send a tough Bible question, you'll get a chance to win a Bible study resource of your choice so that you can understand the Bible even better. We might devote a whole podcast episode to answering your tough Bible question. Welcome back. So continuing on with this theme of Lucifer and the Morning Star, I made a very strong claim. I said that Jesus is the true Morning Star. Now, at first, this may almost sound blasphemous. How can I really say something like that? Isn't that equating Jesus with Satan? To which I say, no, absolutely not. This is actually what Jesus himself expressly says in Revelation 22:16, which I just read. He says, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright Morning Star." But this is also mentioned, like another passage that I just mentioned, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19. So Jesus is the true Morning Star. Remember, the idea of the Morning Star is it is a being, it is a star of great glory, and it is bringing light. It is a symbol of hope, actually. But what we learn then from the Bible, as we put all these pieces together, the King of Babylon being called the Morning Star, Jesus himself, we find out, is the Morning Star. As we put these different pieces together, what we see is that there are different beings who have been exalted to high places, like the King of Babylon. But many of these beings who have been exalted to high places, like the King of Babylon, they revolt. And rather than being a blessing for the nations, they use their position to actually persecute the people of God. As a result, then, the King of Babylon, when he's called the Lucifer, the bright morning star, that's not a reference to who he still is, but a reference to what he once was. Now, there may be this question in your mind. Could it be that we're using this terminology about the King of Babylon, but also secondarily has implications for how we think about Satan the devil? And I think the answer to that is possibly. I think that that is possible. I think if the understanding of Satan that we have is correct, then this would sort of fit who Satan is as this being who is exalted, an exalted being, and yet who, rather than using his exalted position to serve God, he uses it to fight against God. So I think there could be some applications regarding how we think about Satan, but the point is this, we have to be very careful because we don't actually have textual warrant to say that. We do see this theme of falling from heaven, but we have to be tentative because the Bible doesn't actually tell us this flat out clearly. So the most that we can say is that we're speculating. Now, can we use the word Lucifer to refer to Satan? In this, I would say, I think that it's okay to use that word Lucifer to refer to the devil. For one, the word is used commonly in our culture nowadays. Maybe if not commonly, at least it's understood. If you're referring to Lucifer, you're referring to the devil. So I think that if you want to use that word Lucifer in any other way than how our culture uses it, you should just be careful because people have a lot of preconceived ideas that go along with that term. And it's a very dark, sinister term, even if in the Bible it actually has a very positive connotation as being the light bringer, the one who is exalted to a position of glory. But even as we refer to Satan as Lucifer, if we want to do that, we need to realize that the word Lucifer is being used as a taunt. That's certainly how it's being used, at least in this passage in Isaiah. It is a taunt against the King of Babylon. This is the one who has fallen from his position. It's a mock name for the King of Babylon, and if we're using it about the devil, we can view it the same way. It's a mock name for the devil. It can be applied, in a sense, then, to all of those who grow to really great heights, who fight against God's people, and ultimately they're humiliated by the sovereign God. They are Lucifer. They promise to bring light, they promise to bring hope, but they fight God's people, and God takes vengeance on these beings. Well, as you can see then, Lucifer is a very complicated subject, but there's so much more to Lucifer than just another name for the devil. Jesus Christ is the ultimate morning star, the one who is exalted to great glory and who And I say exalted, I sort of have to be careful because I'm not saying that he didn't have great glory and then he was exalted. But I'm saying the one who is in that place of great glory, Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the morning star who does not then turn against God. These other Lucifers, the Lucifer of the King of Babylon, or in popular culture, the Lucifer as the devil, are ones who may have been exalted by God, and yet they actually lose that position because they fight against God, and they are no longer the light bearers, the hope bringers to our world. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I have really been enjoying these tough Bible questions. I hope you've been enjoying them too. Listen, the Timothy Talks podcast, it's a small podcast. We don't have a lot of reach, but we're trying to bring you some really good, solid biblical content. I hope it's a blessing for you. That's why we're doing it. We're not doing it for any other reason except just to be a blessing for you. So if you have been blessed by this, I really want to ask you, will you please share this podcast with your friends, with your family, with your church group, maybe even with some unbelievers who have some of these difficult questions? Maybe it would be a help for them. That would mean so much to me. I would so appreciate if you would do that. Next week, I'm going to be answering the question, Zechariah's basket woman. It's another one of those really weird things. What is going on deep in the recesses of the Old Testament? And if you've not already, let me invite you to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for listening. It's great to have you, and God bless.